Mark Shapiro will be calling in about 5 minutes. The new facility is open. It's go time for the Jays. They've been working on it for a long time down in Dunedin. They've pumped in a lot of money, a lot of resources. They've just posted a video online, and it is state-of-the-art, which is what you would expect. If you're building a new facility in 2021, it better not be like the 15th best facility. You know, you better pump in the cash, and there's a lot that's going to go into it. And there it is up on TSN2. It looks incredible. And I know this is a crown jewel for Shapiro, because basically since he got here, this is something he focused on, right? On top of building the team and trying to become competitive again, and they had to bottom out to start moving up on that. This was a big part of what I think he sold to ownership in terms of what was needed. I think the second phase of that was potentially either upgrading the Rogers Center or building a new stadium altogether, as was reported a couple of months ago, but COVID may have changed the plans on that. But, man, it looks good. And, oh, you could probably speak to this as an athlete. I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all, but if you have that type of facility and that type of commitment from ownership, it's worth something, for sure.
I just remember being a young guy, Brian. I always got antsy to get back to Carolina. It's like, you know, I would come home early because we missed the playoffs a lot, but August 1st or July 20th, I'd be like, I better get back down there, because there was a group of players led by Rod Brindamore, Ron Francis. It was like a month of training camp, basically unofficial. And to think about being able to go down to a facility like that, which is like, if you think about that hockey-wise, where it would just be shooting areas, skating areas, like that would be so awesome. You just have to wonder, the one thing I wonder is there like accommodations for the players where they can set up shop and stay there, or they still got to find places to stay? But the whole facility, it looks amazing. It's a baseball dream.
Yeah, it really is. And like the everyday players would have places down there that they would probably own in Dunedin. If not, you know, you'd have the ability to lease, or you'd have it around when you would be down there, whether it's January, February, into March. A lot of the guys with a ton of money, you know, property is down in Florida, man. You could pick up a pretty sweet place for like $700,000.
And I'm pretty old school
as George Springer.
Yeah, I'm pretty old school as far as, I believe you got to have the talent in there. So you can have a facility for your players to go to, but I believe big time in the people that are down there, the guy that's in that pitching area, the guy that's teaching these kids, because anybody can go down there and just start throwing pitches in a covered area for pitchers, but it's who's down there helping these kids to develop. That is beyond what more important of what is actually down there structurally.
Yeah, totally agree, O. But, you know, one thing I will say, don't forget, when Masai Ujiri took the job as GM, president of the Toronto Raptors, one of his main demands to come over was had to build a new practice facility. Because, and I think Shapiro prioritizing this speaks to the same thing, which is, you know, like it's not like it was when you were playing, O, where you kind of had to put up with, you know, in the grungy old dressing rooms down at Lakeshore Lions Arena, right? Like these guys expect palaces, because they got palaces in colleges and they got palaces in high schools in the States. If you've seen some of these facilities,
you can't bring a free agent down to Lakeshore Lions Arena and show them that as your practice facility nowadays. You just can't do it.
No,
back in the day, nobody cared. Yeah,
well, that was natural across the league. You know, like the Leafs used to practice at St. Mike's Arena every once in a while. Like that just, it's, that's so foreign now in 2021, and there isn't a team in the league that I'm aware of that would do that in baseball, basketball, football, hockey. It is state of the art across the board, as it should be, based on the amount of money that is involved in owning these franchises and operating these franchises. And it is a rat race to one up the previous team. They have that, we've got this. And I saw the email earlier today in terms of what is available there. You know, obviously the weight room is state of the art, which is what you would expect. The amount of fields, the amount of facilities, you know, the technology that is available at the complex is significant, but also a barber available, right? Parks. Like Parks is a part of it too. And that is how you can maybe separate a little bit between yourself and T-Max down the road, you know, within the division or whatever. And we'll ask Mark about that in terms of George Springer accepting the deal. I think we all can accept, first and foremost, it was money, term, fit, where are you going to play, how good is the team, and the Jays could check all that off. They could offer the most money, offer the term, come to an up-and-coming team. He's going to hit leadoff. He's going to play center field. Like, check, 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 check. But on top of it, you probably could say, also, take a look at this video. This is what's opening, and you have access to this whenever you want. And Houston can't match it, right? The Mets can't match it. No one can right now because we're opening it, and as of today, no one can touch us, which I think goes somewhere. I think it means something. So
yeah, what would that mean to you? Oh, on-site barbershop, vendor room, grab and grow. This is one you might be intrigued by. Grab and go fridges and nutrition stations. Oh, what do you make of that?
Well, unfortunately, when I played the fridges, there wouldn't be things in there that would be healthy. There would probably be cold beer and other things.
Exactly, like day-old pizza and beer in the grab and go fridge down in
with
Carolina.
With a piece of tape on it that says "Do not touch."
Not from the trainer, from a fellow teammate.
Yeah.
Here is the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. So we've been detailing the video that we saw, all the different elements that came with the new facility here in the new complex down in Dunedin, and you've been working on it pretty much since day one when you got here. How satisfying is this for you that it's complete and everyone can see it and all the players can use it and the team can use it now?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It was about having players inside of it. Ultimately, it is a point of pride for Blue Jay fans across all of Canada, and it's, you know, more than anything, and most importantly, it is a driver of a championship future. You know, it's best-in-class opportunity to have resources get to our players, a positive environment for them to be. It fosters the best teammates and the best players. You know, I think it is a part of having a championship future. Obviously, that's dependent upon the players and the work being done and us continuing to develop and improve. But it's an exciting time and really something that anybody that's a Blue Jays fan would be incredibly proud of.
Mark, I understand it's a beautiful place, but how does it equate into a competitive advantage? Like, how does that turn into winning more baseball games? Is it the people in there instructing your players or young players, free agents visiting that site? How does it turn into a competitive advantage?
It's a great question. It's multiple levels. One, for the very first time, we've had our major and minor leagues together in one location. There used to be some disconnection between where they train. So I think it fosters, you know, one organization, one culture. It allows great major league players, like from young guys like Bo Bichette to veteran guys like George Springer, to model for our young players the values that we, you know, continue to build around, as well as the talent, work routines, and effort that it goes into being a great player. Two, it allows us to kind of deliver to our players the modern resources that exist, because, you know, it used to be, and our last facility was kind of last generation, and we skipped the generation and went right to next generation. It used to be guys just showed up and prepared and drank beer out of those fridges you were talking about and cold pizza. And now we've got mental performance coaches. We've got physios, strength coaches, trainers, all different opportunities outside of just baseball coaches. So how do we, you know, get that information to the player in a way that it flows naturally within their daily journey throughout a complex onto the field, and in a way that incorporates, really makes them the center of everything we're doing? So we built a facility with that in mind, along with kind of giving us the opportunity to foster the values that we want to place an emphasis on that we think are part of championship players.
So, Mark, speaking of important facilities for a championship future, there's been a lot of speculation in Toronto about, you know, where the Blue Jays will play, if and when you can play in Toronto, of course, which may not be this season, or at least not the beginning of the season. But where are you in terms of, you know, the future of your home stadium?
As far as just this year or future?
Well, obviously not this year, but in terms of long-term planning, in terms of where, you know, obviously, you know, you're living in a stadium that's 30-plus years old, and there's need for major renovation or maybe a new place. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I see it as a potential opportunity in the future, you know, as from a fan experience, a game experience, and a revenue driver for us as an organization. But I look at that as something that is clearly on hold until we're well past the pandemic and we can pick that back up with our ownership, and certainly us have a role in the stadium component of it.
Well, in terms of making a pitch, like using a guy like George Springer, I think we all can accept money first and foremost. You guys had it, being a part of a quality ball club. You guys have it, him playing where he wants to play and being comfortable. You've offered that to him. He's going to likely hit leadoff. He's going to play center field. So, you know, in terms of when and how impactful a pitch becomes, you know, revolving around these facilities, can you take us through that process, Mark? Like, how
sure.
often you'd bring that up and how receptive the players are, whether it's the Rogers Center and what comes with that or this new facility down in Dunedin?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think you're right. You're looking at the different variables that a player has when he's making a decision on where to come play. A lot of times it's team competitiveness, geography, who the coaching staff are, who the players are. Resources and facilities is one of those things. So we certainly, in our pitch, made this training complex because we spend so much time here and it offers so much opportunity for the players in the off season, really competitive with any off site. You know, and that's really, you know, one more opportunity, you know, for us is that, you know, so many players have outsourced strength and conditioning in the off season, Jeff. So I didn't mention that, but, you know, this gives us the ability to, you know, have a best in class strength and conditioning and training environment where players can get everything done. So it's part of the pitch, you know, like you said, money certainly factors in. The teammates, who they're going to play with, but they ultimately have earned the right to have that choice. So this is something else that we feel is a differentiator for us, you know, from other teams, and something that, you know, is part of it, is a reflection on a championship future. I can tell you one thing, when a player walks in this building, there is no doubt that we care, and there's no doubt that we're trying to give them, and we are committed to every single resource possible to help them be the best they can be. And from my mind, like, that they feel that and they see that and then they can take advantage of that, nothing's more important.
Mark, whenever I walk back into the locker room or clubhouse, whatever it may be, you kind of take a look around, you look at guys, and you kind of give like a nod of congratulations to a guy that had a great offseason. You just look and say, man, that guy put in the time. Can you explain what it was like putting eyes on Vladdy for the first time? A lot of talk about the weight loss, just what you were thinking when you first put eyes on him.
I mean, I think for Vladdy, it's maturation, right? Like, he's, I always, you know, it's hard for me to believe, and you can think about it, he's only 21 years old and already have kind of been through the pressures, the expectations. Think about when he first came to Toronto and what people thought he would do instantly. To have him, you know, take what he's gone through, learn where routines, training, nutrition, that fits in to him being a great player, things that a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old don't regularly think about, and start to incorporate those into being the player that he can be. So I think that's going to help his talent play in a more meaningful way. It was encouraging to see that. But more importantly, I think it's going to help him feel more confident and just be a better player in general.
We're chatting with Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays. You guys have brought in veteran presence this offseason. George Springer, clearly. Marcus Semien. You've brought in a couple of guys in the staff, a couple of bullpen vets. Where do you stand on needing that mix in terms of intangibles, in terms of young players and a mixture of veteran players, and the value that guys who have been around the block, so to speak, can bring to young players and potentially lead to, you know, production on the field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always go back there. I don't know if you guys you know, remember him, but there was a really good major league player named Travis Fryman who we had when I was in Cleveland. I remember talking to Travis about exactly what you're talking about, like the different segments of the player population. Like, when you think about building a roster and building a team, where do veteran guys fit in? Where do young guys fit in? Young players are often just happy to get to the big leagues and be there. They offer the most upside in their performance, but also the most volatile performance. You know, players that are in the prime of their career, a lot of times are thinking about, you know, getting paid and kind of ensuring that they, you know, get the security, you know, of a career. And veteran players, they want to win. You know, they've kind of done, they've had the security, they've made a lot of money. And so I think it's important to have the upside that young players represent and the, you know, the excitement of being there, you know, players that have the most stable performance that are in the kind of the prime of their careers. But then the veteran players that bring the wisdom of what it takes to win and are often usually the best ones that are usually to share that wisdom of their past experiences and that have a drive to win championships.
Mark, we were having a little fun on the show today talking about cell phone etiquette, the calls you ignore, the text back of calls that, you know, you say, oh, I missed your call, what's up? How often do you ignore calls?
Yeah. What's your go-to? What's your go-to, Mark? What do you say to people?
When I get a call from Brian Hayes, that's probably the one that I've got that on block and just
Shanahan and Messiah have the same approach, so you're not alone. That's a three-pack in Toronto.
Hey, did you see the one, Mark? Sorry, go ahead.
No, you, please.
No, we were laughing, too. The Houston Texans, of course, have a hot quarterback on the potential trade market, yeah. And the story is the teams are leaving voicemails for the Texans with trade offers. Have you ever got one of those?
I have. Yes, I have. I actually saved it for quite some time because it was so ridiculous and so embarrassing that I. I've gotten those. It's interesting. I've obviously been around far too long, and I've seen the shift go from phone calls to voicemails to now like. It's amazing the amount of transactions that happen in text messaging. And just like social media, there, that people feel a lot more bold when they don't have to connect with you live and in person and kind of what they offer. So it does give us the ability to kind of record things a little better than we have in the past. But yeah, I think the industry shifted to a lot more interaction, in text messages.
With Mark Shapiro. Well, that's one way in which I'm sure the fans can access you now compared to 20 years ago, where if they, they find an email address or whatever it might be, where, you used to run into fans on the street and you'd interact. But to your point, generally speaking, fans will just say, love you, love the job you're doing, can't wait, go Jays, move on.
I haven't heard that very much.
Okay, well, that's surprising to me. I think that's coming. I think you'll get that. But I guess the point being is, you're not as bold when you're face-to-face like you just said. But I'm
no
sure
question.
You received an email or two from a fan where you're like, who is this guy? And what is he talking about right now?
I've never hidden my email address. I don't hand out my cell phone number.
Good.
I've never hidden my email address. But I will say, if I think about the way social media in general has changed the job, I think it's that so many reporters and writers are more intent on being the first to report than necessarily reporting, information correctly. And so a lot of times rumors become stories, and then Ross gets sidetracked by having to answer questions about rumors rather than, about what we're doing, which is takes us away. So, the job is less efficient. The job requires so much more accessibility than it used to require. And the media cycle is instantaneous. And, aggregators like Trade Rumors and every sport can just, send a barrage of kind of requests for information, just off of someone's just, making an educated guess.
Right. Which, exactly. And that clearly happens a lot. And yet at the same time, you've been in the business for quite some time. Having that interest level and having that buzz and having that coverage can be lucrative, right? It can keep your sport on the front line. So how do you balance that in terms of maybe a frustration where, it's directly affecting you or your counterparts, but at the same time, it's, at least they're talking about the Jays and talking about baseball as opposed to something else.
I mean, I never resent, people say, hey, is it tough to have, fans come up to you when you're waiting in line at a restaurant or, someone wants to talk to you when you're going to get a cup of coffee. And I guess what I'd say is that's where I feel what you're talking about. No, I love that, man. If I didn't love talking baseball, I'm in the wrong business. And if fans didn't have any interest in talking about it, then we're in trouble. So, being accessible and knowing the media is the kind of our, is the way we talk to our fans because we can't give our cell phone number out to everyone. every fan. But I guess I think where the line is when, you know, you're talking about players' lives and players' futures in a way that's really just rumor. And once you start answering one of those, you know, then you have to answer everyone. And so, and also takes us away from doing our primary job, which is trying to help build a winning organization and winning team, you know, for our fans. So that's where the line is for me. If it's not talking directly to our plans, our fans, in a way that kind of engages them, and it's not, you know, focused on helping us build a championship and winning team, then I think it's inefficient and something that good fans wouldn't want us to be doing.
So, Mark, so you saved that voicemail with the trade offer. How outlandish was it?
Well, fortunately, you know, no one would know those players anymore, just showing how old I am. So,
Okay. All right. Could you ever picture a scenario, though, where you thought, okay, this is a player that puts us over the top. I have to leave the voicemail. Like, I have to do it, or I have to send the text, whatever it is, that I might feel uncomfortable. It may not be, you know, exactly what I've been known to do. There may not be any integrity behind this, but I have to do it because if we can get this guy, the job is done. Could you picture yourself in that scenario?
Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night when you read like, oh, this guy's in play.
Right.
We got to get in on that. We got to make sure we're in on that. But listen, there's 30 teams in the world, so only 29 potential trade partners. We have a pretty good pulse and feel of everything going on, and it doesn't, you know, and it is in the other team's best interest to ensure they explore the market before they trade a guy. So deals almost never happen where you don't have the opportunity to at least determine whether there's a fit with your team.
Well, you're days into camp now, and everyone's saying the right things. I think it was Rowdy who said yesterday he brought up World Series. You know, he mentioned that as a realistic goal, and that's music to the ears of Blue Jay fans. I don't know how comfortable you are with those type of phrases, but it appears from afar that, you know, you guys are an optimistic group, and that's got to be a good feeling.
It is. I mean, listen, it's about taking the next step. It's about continuing to build towards a sustainable championship team. I mean, I want to get to the point where every single year we leave spring training, not 1, 2, or, you know, even 3 years, we have an objective reason to believe that we can be a world champion. And our players' belief, the positive energy, the optimism, the attitude, combined with talent, is a very good step for us. We're still not a perfect team. We still have work to do, both from the development of the players in-house to continuing to add to the places that we think now we need to add, or we will find out as we start to play games. But I feel confident that we have taken the next step towards that sustainable championship organization, and we continue on a really good path. So our players' belief in that is what drove our success last year and will continue to drive, you know, us moving forward.
Well, we can't wait to see it all, come to fruition here, and the season is right around the corner. And congrats on the new facility. It looks amazing, everything we've seen, everything we've read, and good luck with that in the future, and have a great camp, and we'll do this again soon. Thank you, Mark.
I look forward to reconnecting with you guys later in camp.
You got it. There he is, Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, and he's a proud guy of that facility, as he should be. And state of the art. A lot of different reasons to believe that it can benefit the players and the club. But, you know, to your point, there's 162 games that ultimately matter, and it's about building to that point and pushing towards a winning record and trying to make the playoffs and make some noise. But I think Shapiro and company are aware of that, and it's a pretty cool story. If you're a Blue Jay fan, there's no downside to having a state-of-the-art facility for the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's only beneficial.
It's all how it equates. That's what I wanted. How does that translate? How does that make Vladdy better? If it obviously translates to him hitting more bombs, awesome. But if they're I think they started this, they called it the Program of Excellence shortly after. Well, they called it something shortly after Shapiro and Atkins took over.
Yeah.
And the injuries just started piling up as soon as this excellence kind of took over. So it's like you can name all this stuff, you can call it all the bells and whistles, but if it doesn't translate into something, it's there for the naught. It's like, what? Who cares about all that fancy stuff? Wins and production and performance, that's what you want to see. And if you can see that in the next couple of years, you're going to be like, man, that facility might be doing something down there.
Well, especially if you're in Toronto. Like, we don't benefit directly from something that is in Dunedin, Florida, right? Like, it doesn't affect my life directly. I can't go down to the park. I'm not going to be at the park. I have been to Dunedin before when it was, you know, back in the early 90s, and, you know, it was what it was at that point. I think Mark said we basically skipped the generation here, and they're moving forward in terms of what they're trying to build and accomplish here. So you're right. I mean, if you live in Toronto, what the facility looks like, or what, it's not going to change your life, but the way it can hopefully have a positive effect on your fandom is it benefits the team, and they're in a better spot, and they win more games. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to hope
for. And I think Shapiro made the point that resonated with me, which is when George Springer or any other new player walks into a new facility that looks world-class and is world-class, then you can't question that the Blue Jays care about winning.
Right.
You walk into a rinky-dink, you know, circa 1978, you know, Dunedin, which they had for the vast majority of this time. They've done some tweaks to it over the years, but nothing like this. I mean, it does make you question, like, what kind of an operation is this? Because there are palaces opening up across America. The ones in Arizona are unbelievable. The ones in the bigger ones in Florida, like the Yankees spot, is incredible down in Tampa, right? So, yeah, you can't have a rinky-dink one. You got to have a, and if you're going to build a new one, it might as well be the best.
Exactly. I think it comes into play when you got some players that are coming back from injury or are injured, and you can send them down to a facility where they can replicate situations, they can replicate game-type situations, whatever you want, it's down there. So I think that's an area where it can obviously be in play.
That's exactly right, because, you know, they're down there during the off season. A lot of the vets will be there. A lot of them would live in Florida, in Dunedin, likely have homes down there. But ultimately, spring training is, you know, what is it, 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, you're spending the majority of the season up here. But if you have an injury where it's going to take you a month to rehab, you head down there, right? And that is where it can be really beneficial. And I'm sure that factors in. And it is about sports science and different technology and different technological advances that every team uses now that allows for cutting. It's not even cutting edge because everyone does it. It's just you're behind the edge if you don't have it, right?
Well, the other one is, too, like, they want guys to train with them, right? Because there's been a big move in baseball that guys go elsewhere. As Shapiro said, guys outsource their strength and conditioning in the offseason. There's a guy named Eric Cressy who works with the Yankees who's got his own private facility where a lot of the top pitchers go in and work out. But, like, the Leafs have been pretty successful building their nice new weight room at MasterCard. You get to see your own guys every day in the off season, right? You can't force them to be there, but if you can attract them to be there, you know, voluntarily, it helps your organization, right?
Goes a long way. Goes a long way. And the Leafs have benefited greatly from that, like, especially the local guys, clearly. Like, you know, Hyman's down there all the time and other local players. Tavares would train there throughout the summer. But that can go a long way for sure. So thanks again to Mark Shapiro for joining us. The season right around the corner. We'll get Mark back on. Hopefully get Charlie on, some of the players, Ross on. Before you know it, they're going to be playing again.